This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. College football, it's closer than the NFL. I know we have preseason we're looking forward to, and we still have to add some more bets to the portfolio. We're looking at more win totals. I'm on Houston. I'm on Kentucky. I'm on NC State. There's a few others I'm currently considering. To help us find some more, we're going out to the Progressive Guest Line. Jake Cirkus is going to join us. Bleacher Report is where you can find him, at Jake Cirkus on X, and he joins us now on the program. How much do you look forward to college football season, Jake? Because I got to tell you, as someone who grew up in the Northeast and loved the NFL growing up, once I went to college in the South, college football took over. College football is number one. I prefer my Saturdays to Sundays, and I feel like you're kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, it's a little split for me. I would say the experience of watching college football from, I'm on Central Time, so 11 a.m. to midnight is, with pretty much no breaks, is second to none compared to the NFL, where, you know, you have to wait for the 4:25 games to start and then another hour for the night game. But there, it's just the Saturdays are packed, and now you got games. You got Friday games, Thursday games, Wednesday games. There's really nothing like it, and hopefully over the next half hour I can potentially convince you to add some more regular season win totals your portfolio.
Yeah, I love that. You know what? I didn't appreciate it when I first moved to the West Coast and I had to do the 9 a.m. kickoffs. Now that I'm like older, yeah, I actually like the 9 a.m. kickoff, because then around like 8 o'clock, I can take the phone with me and watch the games and go out to a dinner. And I like that I'm seeing this team on your list of options to bet this year on their win total, because the Oregon Ducks, that's my national champ, Jake. I love them. I love Dan Lanning. I love the build. This is a pivotal year with Dante Moore returning at quarterback, a lot of that defense back as well. Win total's 10.5. You want to go over, you want to go under?
Yeah, love the national title shout. I did target the win total here, 10.5. If I had to choose a team to win the national title in mid-August, it would be them. I think there's a lot of teams that are in that conversation. But based on what they bring back, specifically at defensive line, which 2 years ago they had a horrid run defense. It was their Achilles heel all season. They got gashed by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. And fast forward 2 years later, all these mostly five-star guys who, you know, are double-digit sack guys, run cloggers, they're all back. They had all of their backups last year transfer out to other Power Four schools because everybody on this current defensive line is back. They're still deep. They add some more five-star guys as freshmen that probably really won't play all that much. But the receivers loaded to Corey Moore. They get Evan Stewart back, who was hurt last year. And you mentioned the word pivotal. I would agree, not just for Dante Moore, but for Dan Lanning as well, who quietly, you know, year 4 or 5 of this tenure has yet to really get to a national title game, has yet to eclipse expectations with all that Phil Knight money that they get. And if Oregon comes up short again this year, I'm not going to say that he's going to get fired, but some of those narratives, you never know, could start brewing around Dan Lanning in the Big Ten. But plus money to win the Big Ten, over 10.5. I show value on them in that game against Ohio State. They are 30-1 straight up as a double-digit favorite over the last three seasons. I have 10 of those games on their schedule this season in that spot. So over 10.5, believe it's still at plus money, is where my money is going in mid-August here at the Ducks.
Yeah, I don't like the narrative that Dan Lanning can't win a big game when he literally is in the playoff and he won at Penn State a year ago. And the only teams to knock him out of the playoff the last 2 years have been the eventual national champion. Yep. Jake Cirkus is our guest. Bleacher Report at Jake Cirkus on X is where you can find him on X. Let's stay in the Big Ten. USC, Lincoln Riley, another guy at a crossroads. Win totals 8.5 right now, Jake. They return some beef on the O-line, have to find some skill. What do you like about the Trojans this year, and you want to go over?
So I'm under on USC.
Ooh.
Not Not because I don't like the team. I you know, when I started my preliminary stuff, I really liked what they brought back, the veteran offensive line. But with the schedule, this number, just a bit too high for me. Very, very talented team. And unlike previous years, they're going to be very good up front on defense. And I want to preface that they're my 12th power rated team. They are a bit down at receiver. You mentioned losing Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane, but USC, that unit's going to be very elite, should have no problems offensively. And, you know, defensively is where the struggles have come. They took a big step forward last year with Danton Lynn. Now he's out the door. I did not like the hire of Gary Patterson. The defensive line is full of star power, so I expect them to be competent, maybe not as good as last year, and that's kind of where my handicap is here, because the schedule is brutal. It's my hardest Big Ten schedule. They have to play Oregon, Ohio State, at Indiana, Washington, and a very improved UCLA team on the road. It's a high number. I have some stuff out there on them to miss the playoff. They're going to be a sizable dog twice, so I think Lincoln Riley is going to do enough to show the boosters and the board and stuff that things are going in the right direction. He's never had a bad offense in his entire life, so you know that's going to stay. But I don't see 9 wins. I don't see a playoff for SC this year. I think they're a step below.
I think you framed it perfectly. When I did my work on USC, I said I actually like this roster a lot. The problem is that back end. At Penn State and at Wisconsin in the cold, they are not built for that in the Big Ten. At Indiana in November, and then finishing at UCLA, that's not the gimme it used to be with Bob Chesney there. So if I'm betting them, I am betting the under win total on the USC Trojans. Jake Circus is our guest. Catch him at Bleacher Report, at Jake Circus on X. Let's go to the Big 12. Shout out to Dan Hawkins. The Texas Tech Red Raiders, your defending champ there. Win total for them, ooh, it's all the way up to 11.5. That's at 2-1. You can go over 10.5 and lay $2. How do you feel about the Red Raiders reloading this year?
Great. And that's surprising because I didn't love this team last year. I obviously did think they were miles ahead of anyone else in the Big 12. I think it is exactly that, and maybe even more this year based on, you know, BYU losing their defensive coordinator, Utah being a step down after Kyle Whittingham left. It is unreal what this team has coming back, Dustin. The multitude of guys who left for the NFL, they replaced them. It's not going to be as good, the defensive line, but they did a great job replacing them with all of that NIL money. The only question I have about this roster is the health of their quarterback, Will Hammond. They got very unlucky with the whole Brennan Soresby stuff, but I like Will Hammond if he's healthy and can be consistent enough to play at the level they need him to. That's the question. Where I targeted them is just to win the Big 12. It's still sitting at plus money at some places. They're deep at receiver. This team shouldn't have lost a game in the regular season last year. Morton was hurt in their only loss against Arizona State. I love what they have coming back. A bunch of all Big 12 players, and they're deep. They're experienced. They're really, really talented. They're these two edge rushers they have who are going to replace the two big guys that they lost to the NFL, Adam Trick and Trey White, both from the G5 level. Love the outlook for those two guys. Plus money to win the Big 12. The schedule is a joke. It's one of the easiest in the Big 12. And I expect them to go to Dallas easily and be a touchdown plus favorite in that game, depending on who they play.
Yeah, they're spending serious money down there in Lubbock. Let's stay in the Big 12. Kansas State, Colin Klein takes over his alma mater. Avery Johnson is still there, which means I will lose another Heisman bet on Avery Johnson, as I do every single year. Wildcats win total, 7.5 is minus 175 to the over, under plus $1.44. If you want to go 8.5, the over's plus 115, under minus 136. What do you think of Kansas State this season?
I think it's a program that's ready to reload quickly, and they have all the tools of a quick turnaround despite the personnel losses. You know, last year they really lost their identity towards the beginning of the season. Not really sparred the end of the Klieman era, but Colin Klein comes in, you know, former KSU quarterback. I like the idea that he's really going to hopefully extract all the experience and talent that's in there with Avery Johnson. Think that they've got some good skill guys to work with. The schedule's pretty easy. there's a lot of toss-up games here. So this team is pretty high variance. And, you know, I didn't bet anything with them just yet, but I could see some Big 12 title stuff, maybe to make the Big 12 title game. The schedule is really, really easy, and there's a ton of toss-ups here, as I mentioned. They do have this kid coming over from Oklahoma State, Wendell Gregory, who I think is going to be first team all Big 12, the edge rusher. They're pretty good in the front seven. You mentioned the Avery Johnson stuff. I will not be betting him to win the Heisman for the third straight year, but do like what they have coming back, and obviously some variance here. They have a nice, easy first three games. If you consider Tulane at home, I think they'll be a double-digit favorite in that game. So three games to get off the map to start with this new regime, and it's all gas from there. So I like them.
All right, Jake, we'll do it again before the season starts. We'll talk about some other teams you like. We have to talk about your Cincinnati Bengals down the road. Appreciate you doing this tonight, staying up late, hanging out with us here on Cashing Out. Jake Cirkus, BR Betting, Bleacher Report on X at Jake Cirkus. Thanks for doing this, man. We'll chat soon.
Yeah, of course, Dustin. See ya.
Awesome stuff from Jake there as far as those win totals are concerned. USC is the conundrum. USC, if you just look at the roster and the situation, you go, you know what? There's offensive linemen back. Riley knows how to scheme this thing up. Jaden Maiava returns. You want to bet him for Heisman. He's a USC quarterback returning to the same system. I can't get there. I'm with Jake. I think the under's the play. I can't stand how they play as it gets colder in these Big Ten cities. They go to Wisconsin's going to be crazy. Penn State's going to be crazy. I still don't think USC really is a fit to win in the Big Ten. When we return, we go back to the National Football League. Too high, all right, all right, all right. I have a sack leader and defensive player of the year bet I want to look at next.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with us, however you may be tuning in. Sirius XM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Still to come on the program an hour and 15 minutes from now, Johnny Venerable, Cardinals beat writer, joins the show. Get his thoughts on where we stand with Carson Beck. Is he going to start day one? How long do they go with Jacoby Brissett, who they just gave a contract to not that long ago? And Carson Beck is the guy that we're all watching after the Hall of Fame game last week. How does he answer that and build upon what he did where it looked like he was ready for the moment? I will temper expectations now and talk out of both sides and remind myself as I say that and everyone else listening that it was against a very basic shell defense. We will see as things get more exotic what Carson Beck looks like, but if you're the Cardinals, what else are you playing for other than developing for next year down the road? I guess my only fear would be either Beck or Brissett backing us into too many wins potentially and stopping us from drafting another quarterback, because as good as Carson Beck looks this year, unless he absolutely looks like a surefire stud, the Cardinals are also drafting a quarterback next season because it is a draft like 2018. With that, let's stay in the NFL. And we do this series in the offseason called Too High or All Right, All Right, All Right. And we look for futures we want to add. And last year, I never really bet in this market before, but I had two winners in over-under for season-long sack props. We hit Josh Sweat in Arizona. And the other one we hit was Nick Benito. The numbers were extremely low. I want to say they were like 7.5 for those guys. And they went over with a few weeks to spare. So because of that, I'm trying to find situations that remind me of that. And the first player I want to bring up here reminds me of the Josh Sweat situation from last year. The reason why I bet Josh Sweat was he was reunited with Jonathan Gannon out in Arizona, and it was a good fit for his skill set, and he had success in the past running in that defense. Well, I think this next guy has a chance to go over his sack total as well. You tweet me, at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSiN Live, email the show, cashingout@vsin.com. Clavon Chaisson, the outside linebacker edge, who goes from New England now to the Washington Commanders. His prop is set at 5.25. So hold on. Chaisson had 7.5 sacks last year. 7.5. And now it's at 5.25. And I get what the market is saying. He's going to a system where there's other guys who can also get after the quarterback. But the reality is, he's had a track record when he's on the field, when he's getting opportunity to make things happen. And in 15 games in 2024, he had 5. We get 17 out of him this year, right? Most of these props, if you get injured, you're not going to go over. But if we get 17 games out of him, we should be able to get that another, you know, half a sack to go over 5.25. Dan Quinn specifically is part of this handicap. It's similar to Jonathan Gannon. He's very good at identifying and creating pass rushers. Last year, he got Dante Fowler, a guy who was a top pick who really had an up-and-down career. He had 10.5. Frankie Louvu at the linebacker spot had 8. Doris Armstrong, who he brought over from Dallas, had 5. In 2024, in limited games, guys who were around this number, Sweat had 6.5 under Dan Quinn. That's Montez, not Josh. And that was in 8 games. 8 games, 6.5. You also had Jonathan Allen at 5.5 and 15. Chase Young had 5 and 7 games. Dan Quinn knows how to dial up pressure, knows how to get these guys to the quarterback here. And if you just go back to even his time in Dallas, he was developing guys year after year routinely. I just think this number is really low in a defense where you're going to have to spread your attention out, which could leave opportunities for everyone across the board to eat. The defense needs to improve. That was the emphasis in the offseason. They plugged up the middle. They brought in Tim Settle from Houston. Kinlaw's there on one side. Payne returns. Always the other pass rusher. You're concerned that he's going to maybe get some of these sacks. I just think that number is way too low. 5.25. I think we're looking at a 7 to 8 sack season for Chaisson. Is that number too high or all right, all right, all right? You're going to join me in this play on Chaisson with the Commanders. The next bet I want to throw your way is winning the AFC. And I was talking to a guy I respect a lot last night, Mike Davis, professional handicapper, who likes to yell at me in my DMs, but we go way back to Valdosta, Georgia days. And he was like, you know what? This number on the Jaguars doesn't make sense to me. 30-1 to win the Super Bowl, 15-1 to win the AFC. I was like, yeah, I agree, man. But here's the problem. I see Jacksonville as a team that could totally regress after last year and win like 6-7 games. Or I could see them building on it and being a true contender in the AFC. I don't know how this is going to go because I don't understand Liam Cohen. He's kind of a weirdo. And it's not just the Duval press conference, some of the other stuff, the rivalry with Robert Saleh. But the one thing that stands out when you watch his team is they are ultra buttoned up. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. And that was the MO of Trevor Lawrence for so many years under so many other coaches. He got the most out of Trevor Lawrence last year. They went 13-4, a turnaround from 4-13. They won the AFC South, 27.9 points per game. Allowed 19.8 points per game. That's 6th and 8th respectively. They finished the year on an 8-game win streak. Trevor Lawrence, 4,000 yards, 61% completion rate, 38 total touchdowns to 12 interceptions. And that was with Brian Thomas not looking like a number one. Reports are Brian Thomas understands his role a little bit better as a deep threat to go with Parker Washington who emerged. They traded for Jacoby Myers. The weapons are all there. And then the defense. The defense gets boosted because Travis Hunter moves to corner full-time. That front, Armstead in the middle, Josh Hines-Allen, Devon Hamilton, Trayvon Walker, who still has some upside to develop here. I don't know, man. I think Jacksonville is being a little slept on, but I am just not running to bet them. Even though with everything I said, I think this team could be dangerous, I just think there's also a world we're living in where it doesn't go so well in year two for Liam Cohen. So right now I am hesitating to pull the trigger. We'll stay in the AFC South, where if you look at the Defensive Player of the Year odds, Myles Garrett is rightfully the favorite. I will never argue with that. I will also not bet it, simple as that, because right now he is plus 450. Will Anderson is 7-1. Will Anderson is almost double the odds of Myles Garrett here. And he was a finalist a year ago. 12 sacks. And he gets after the quarterback, second in pressure ranking according to Next Gen Stats last season. If he can turn these pressures where he's almost getting there and converting them to sacks, why can't he win this award? He's 24 years old. This kid is in his prime. Go back and look the history of Defensive Player of the Year winners. Myles Garrett's on there. Tip your hat. He's on there a couple times. But the reality is edge rushers are the key. There's one linebacker going back 15 years, that's Luke Kuechly. You have two corners, and that is Sertan a couple years ago, Stephon Gilmore in 2019. The other 9 of the last 15 have all been guys who get after quarterbacks, plus Aaron Donald 3 times, who's also a guy who gets after quarterbacks. He just does everything else at the D-tackle spot. But why can't Will Anderson get better? Why do we just think players are who they are? At 24 years old, he theoretically can get better here. And if he keeps building off a season where he had 12 sacks last year and the year prior had 11 in just 14 games, if he's in the 16, 17 range, because I don't know if Myles Garrett puts up those numbers this year. You just can't factor in a guy having 23 sacks in a given season. I think that Will Anderson can close the gap, and I think he has a chance to win this award. I like betting on upside. I like betting on potential, and I think Will Anderson is just such a dog. He does have Danielle Hunter on the other side to draw some attention, and Hunter actually had more sacks a year ago, but I think Will Anderson's on the climb up. Hunter's probably more of a plateau at this point. And if this defense does what we think it's going to do and be the most physical in the league, and let's say they're one of the top 2 seeds in the AFC, could Will Anderson earn this award not just as a defensive player of the year, but almost like giving it to him as a defensive MVP, not just having the best individual season, him lifting this defense as the best guy on that side of the football? I am inclined to take him, even though it's super short. At that price at 7-1, you can also get him to lead the league in sacks at 6-1. And the reason you're getting that, again, is because he hasn't done it yet. It is an upside play. So that's where we stand with too high or all right, all right, all right. I have a quarterback I want to run by you if we have time later on in the program. That's a long shot. I'll make the case. And I made the case with Tim Murray when I was on the College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. But I do think that this one kid that we'll talk about later has a chance, if he puts up monster numbers, to be out of this freaking world this year. Speaking of college football, it's almost here. The College Football Betting Guide, it's available if you get VSiN Pro. It has previews of every FBS team. That's 138 write-ups. Our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from all the hosts here at VSiN. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, all the best bets from every show, and the real-time betting splits. Try it today for just $9.99, or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. All you got to do is head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Cashing out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Still to come, the campus crawl. Sam Levitt talks about finding out what Baton Rouge is like, and I don't know if it has me wanting to bet on the Bayou Bengals this year. But coming up next, we go to Los Angeles. The Chargers have a different feel, a different vibe, a lot of upside offensively. Can Justin Herbert finally quiet the haters? We'll discuss it when we return on Cashing Out.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. Me here, you there, Sirius XM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States. God bless America. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, as we've got a lot to get to throughout the rest of the program. We'll hit the campus crawl next, where there was a little bit of drama in Eugene. Sounded like they were going to lose one of their running backs for a while, but last I checked, he was back out for practice today. So we can calm down on our team to win the national title in the Oregon Ducks. Also, next hour, Eric Cohen picks for the golf this week. The playoffs begin. Also, Johnny Venerable on the Arizona Cardinals. Carson Beck situation as they mosey on out to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders Thursday in their preseason opener. But speaking of the Raiders, we'll stay in the AFC West next, as the Los Angeles Chargers are a team that I am fascinated by every year. I am a Justin Herbert truther. I acknowledge that. I let everyone know that ahead of time. I put the blame on a lot of his failures on the people around him. And I know it sounds like I'm making excuses, but if it happens over and over again, I just feel like it's obvious. It's not Justin Herbert. It's everyone else. And to help us figure out if this is the year that Herbert shuts down the haters, we go out to the Progressive guest line. We welcome in Fernando Ramirez, Chargers beat writer for the Sporting Tribune, at Real F Ramirez on X. all right, am I the last one left? Is everyone that you talk to in the national media, is everyone a Herbert hater? Are there any of us still believing that Justin Herbert's not the problem, Fernando?
Well, it's fine. Thank you so much for having me on, Dustin. But it's so funny because it's the national media, the talking heads on the TVs, like from Fox Sports and all those guys that are usually the biggest Herbert haters. But no, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, there's I think there was misjudgments. Obviously, people want to give him crap for the Jacksonville game, but they had to play defense too, and the defense didn't make a stop in the second half. And then you kind of look at the Houston game. The Houston game was just a beatdown. I mean, that defense was just way too good for these guys. And I said it from the beginning. I thought Greg Roman was the wrong choice for Jim Harbaugh. I know he went to Old Faithful, but I thought he should have done what he did on the defensive side to the offensive side. Get a young-minded offensive mind like you did with Jesse Minter. Bring him to the offensive side, and let's be innovative. And I think Jim finally figured that out, and that's why they hired Mike McDaniel. So, no, you're not far off from what you're saying. I mean, Justin is a unique talent. He's kind of hit that Matthew Stafford kind of early years of Peyton Manning where everybody's wondering, well, when's it finally going to happen? So I understand where you're coming from with what you're saying.
Well, make sure you clear plenty of space on whatever device you record your press conferences with when McDaniel's at the podium, because it's going to go on for a while. What's it been like, though, interacting with him? Because that is a guy that I'm also a fan of, that I also made excuses for in Miami. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm an enabler out here. But I believe in Mike McDaniel, and I think the idea of him working with Herbert after what he just went through with Tua, we're going to see the training wheels come off. But what's it been like being around Mike McDaniel thus far?
Well, maybe you're the two people that you defend are coming together and they're going to be together. So maybe some greatness is going to happen there. You know, Mike is interesting because he kind of starts off like one day we were waiting for Jim and he comes in and he goes, why aren't you guys hyped? Get hyped. Hey! And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, dude, it's 9 a.m. Like, why are you so hyped up so early? But it's been funny to watch him. Like he yells, he gets amped up. On Tuesday, he yelled kind of aggressively. He was not happy that the third team offense was not set up. He was not happy about that. But Mike is different. He's just a different cat. Like he's wearing, like I had one of my buddies, he's an older reporter, and he goes, hey, how much do you figure Mike's shoes cost? I was like, oh, they're like $3,000. He's like, are you serious? For sneakers? I can get those at Costco for $20. And I start laughing. He's like, I get sneakers at Costco for $20. I'm like, the youngins today, they like their expensive shoes. So Mike's different. He's unique. He brings an offensive mind. But the thing is, you can tell Justin is very excited about working with him. So if Justin's on board, then everything is going to be fine. So I think there was a little bit of maybe miss. There was a miss with Greg Roman. I don't think there's a miss here with Mike McDaniel.
Fernando Ramirez is our guest, Chargers beat writer, Sporting Tribune, at Real F Ramirez on X. Aside from Mike McDonald coming over, how different is camp this year than some of the ones you've covered the last few years?
There's a lot more screaming. I mean, it's funny, you're walking by and you hear cursing and you look over and it's Butch Berry, offensive line coach. He gets amped. He gets fired up. He is yelling. And then his I can't guess his snap count. He goes, and then I'm like, whoa, like what kind of snap count is that? So it's pretty funny to hear Butch Berry, but the intensity's up. I really feel like Rashawn Slater said it, but during minicamp, he's like, I'm frustrated. I know some of my other teammates are frustrated. We've been here for multiple years and we haven't won a playoff game. And a lot of the guys are saying, we need to do this for Khalil. Khalil Mack, in legendary career, has not won a playoff game yet.
Wow.
So they want Khalil to retire with a Super Bowl ring. They want Jim Harbaugh to join that upper echelon of Barry Switzer and some of these other head coaches that won one in college, Jimmy Johnson that won one in college, won one in the NFL. So they know what's at stake. They know that not a lot of I don't think there's as much attention around them as there has been in years past. Which I think that's what they like. I think everybody is kind of fatuated with the Rams. The Broncos are getting a lot of love as well around the league. So I think they kind of like that they're a little bit more quiet. But I definitely think that this is the intensity got raised this offseason, especially with the addition of Mike McDaniel.
How do you think that they are going to handle the preseason here? First game coming up on Thursday, they go to Houston.
Yeah.
Where right now we're looking, Houston's a 1.5-point favorite. The total has dropped from 38.5 to 36.5. How do you think they navigate these waters with the preseason games finally here?
Well, Jim said 15 to 20 starters will not play on Thursday. I think game two, he said 2-3 series for Herbert against San Francisco, and I think he said three series against the Rams, but that obviously could fluctuate depending on, because I mean, Jim could say that, and then on Tuesday they have a good joint practice against the 49ers, and he says, you know what, Justin doesn't play this weekend, we're gonna go we're gonna see what Trey and DJ have. So but I definitely think that they want to give him a little bit of they want to give him some snaps in preseason just because they want to see where Justin's at. I mean, Justin, from everything Mike's told us, he's really picked up this offense. He's liking this offense. So I think they want to get a little bit of they want to see him a little bit. But I think they'd be comfortable if Justin just took a couple snaps and that's it. Because, you know, it's all about the regular season. They don't right now is just a tune up. They're ready for the regular season to start.
Chatting with Fernando Ramirez, Chargers beat writer, Sporting Tribune, at Real F Ramirez on X. How critical is the O-line being healthy, but also beefed up? I mean, they acquired three new starting offensive linemen to go with Slater and Alt. And you go look back at last year, I mean, that was the Achilles heel. Do they believe with that fixed, having some depth this season, that the sky's the limit? Because right now in the Super Bowl market, Fernando, they're just about the same odds as the Kansas City Chiefs, which feels like a lot of respect.
Yeah. No, and they feel like if this offensive line is healthy this year, that they're going to be completely different. I'm sure in that building, they thought if last year Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt are healthy, they probably would have, they might think that they would have beaten New England. That basically the AFC was wide open to go. I mean, you saw New England kind of limp to the Super Bowl and they were in there, but I think the AFC again is wide open this year. And I feel like they think with a healthy offensive line, with the addition of Mike McDaniel, they should be able to compete in the AFC. And you know, what's funny, Justin said having Tyler Biadasz, their new center, has helped because he calls things out. And I remember I heard him in one of those, he called out something with the defense and Herbert after the play, cause they got a touchdown. He goes, great call. I don't know what I can't remember what he calls him, but he said, great call on that. I saw it after you pointed it out. And Justin hasn't had that since Corey Linsley was here, and Corey obviously had the heart, issue. So he had to retire early. But Justin has really like needed a center like that. So the fact that they got one in Tyler that can call that stuff out, I think is going to be very crucial for them. But yeah, Rashawn Slater staying healthy is going to be very crucial for this team and for the success of this team this season.
Well, we learned a lot during the conversation, Fernando. I think mostly what we learned is if it doesn't happen this year, I got to stop making excuses for her, because it does sound like what you said. Everything is in place for this to go right. You're doing an awesome job. I love watching you cover the league. I see you on the network doing other shows. You're killing it, man. Fernando Ramirez, Sporting Tribune, Chargers beat, at Real F Ramirez on X. Thanks for doing this tonight, man.
Oh, yeah, no, of course, anytime. And, yeah, no, I definitely think it's, and I have some family members and friends that are Charger fans. I'm like, so what should I expect? I'm like, I think this is going to be their best year under Jim Harbaugh. I'm just saying that, like, I think this should be their best year. So we'll see. But I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, man. Great stuff from Fernando. God, they also loaded up. They got a lot of guys from Baltimore. Charlie Kohler comes in. Keaton Mitchell comes in. David Njoku is their third tight end from Cleveland. Oh, I'm juiced up for the Chargers. Feels like we're in midseason form already. The campus crawl is next. Dabo Swinney said what about his roster?
Cashing out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Doing a little Victor Cruz salsa dance as we come back on the program. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with us all night long as we broadcast, as always, from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. One last game on the baseball board currently in action, because the Dodgers put the finishing touches on the Royals. 4-2, your final score in that game in L.A. The Dodgers were down early as we hit the air. Shohei Ohtani went oppo for a home run. They cash -215. We do stay under the total of 9. It's weird to think about a Royals game with that bullpen, the Dodgers offense, and we're going under, but that's the way the cookie crumbles in that game in Los Angeles tonight. The final contest is in Anaheim, just down the road. Technically, it's up the road too. North and south actually is an up and down. I can't stand when people correct you, be like, no, technically that's down. No, technically you're a stupid person who doesn't understand how map works. But either way, Angels have come back to take the lead against the Rangers. 5-2. Texas stinks. Hate this team. Hate them. Hate the Mariners. The AL West is an S show. It is a garbage division. Just a bunch of losers letting a bunch of cheaters in the Astros win that thing. It's embarrassing. Texas had a chance. They were up a few games like 3 weeks ago. Seattle is supposed to be the most talented team in the division. Yet here we are. Houston has a one-game lead on Texas. And Texas is going to continue to fall out of the wild card. It's a rough look, man. They got to break this thing up. They have to just tear it down to the studs and start completely over. Do the Texas Rangers. Is that something Clemson's going to do following this season? More on that in a moment. It's now time for the Campus Crawl, our look at the top stories in college football. And we go to Eugene, Oregon first, where a report came out earlier today that their running back, Jordan Davidson, was dealing with an injury. The report said from Zachary Neal, he suffered a broken collarbone in practice. But don't freak out right now if you're an Oregon backer long term. Neal had an update to that tweet saying, as more information comes in, it sounds like there is some optimism that Jordan Davidson might not miss or the originally expected 6 to 8 weeks. We also had an update from Justin Hopkins of On3. You can expect to see pictures of Jordan Davidson practicing today. So a lot of freaking out, a lot of concern. And the latest update from Zachary Neal a few hours ago is that he just practiced. A quote from the running back coach, Rashad Samples: that kid just practiced his butt off. He had a really good day of practice. Sounds like he was out there and running well. So some bad reporting had people freaking out. The market didn't move. I didn't see any big changes. Win total still at 10.5 for them. They're still around 8-1 to win the national title. But remember, a year ago in the playoff, they ran out of running backs. They didn't know what to do, and that was a big issue for them when it mattered late in the season. Davidson, a stud. Oregon, third most rush yards in the Big Ten a year ago, 198.6 per game. Davidson had a team-high 15 touchdowns. De'Aaron Hill Jr., the other running back, added almost 800 on the ground and 6 more touchdowns. They brought in a transfer in Simeon Price, who's bounced around the country, Mississippi State, Coastal Carolina, Colorado, before now his final year being played in Eugene. Remember, they lost Mekhi Hughes in the portal because Mekhi Hughes is now playing at Houston for his former coach, Willie Fritz. They can't afford to lose running backs, especially for late in the year. This is Big Ten football. You have to be able to seal wins on the ground in the cold weather in some of these stadiums where it's going to be a crazy environment. You have to be able to run the football. Davidson avoiding injury is massive for this team. Now let's go to Clemson, South Carolina, where I don't know what to do with the Tigers. I'm a Dabo guy, but it might be time to jump off the bandwagon. On first glance coming into the year, I was like, you know what? I think we back Clemson. I think we back Clemson in a bounce back situation, because my thought was, oh, they probably return a lot of production. They don't. That was not true. Peter Woods is gone. Parker on the edge is gone. The running back, Adam Randall, is gone. That actually might be a net positive because they couldn't run the football at all. Cade Klubnik is gone as well. Dabo Swinney met with the media earlier today and was asked about how things are going with his roster this year.
Just in the early on field work, has anybody maybe popped out or surprised you in a way, just in terms of their progression from the spring to the summer?
No. Everybody's just working. There's a bunch of nobodies. We'll see. We'll see if anybody becomes somebody as we play some games.
That is either Dabo Swinney tempering expectations or Dabo Swinney sandbagging everyone for an aha told you so moment. This is one of those spots where I could see it going both ways. There's good people on both sides of this debate. I think that there's a world where Dabo Swinney has Clemson back in the ACC title game. I think there's also a scenario where Dabo Swinney is Chris Fowler's new partner calling games on ESPN next year. That is the swing we're looking at because he has not adapted to the portal life. Now, they did hit the portal this year. Let's give them a little bit of credit for evolving because they bring in Chris Johnson Jr., who actually had a good game against Clemson a year ago. They also brought in some other guys, a corner from Penn State and Elliott Washington, an edge, London Merritt from Colorado, a couple safeties from Southern Miss and ODU, a D lineman, Courtney Kelly from West Georgia, who I've actually read really good things about. The problem is you don't know what you're getting at quarterback from a Clemson team where it feels like year after year, going all the way back to Deshaun Watson and Taj Boyd, you kind of knew what the baseline was at quarterback. Even the year where Kelly Bryant was there and it didn't go well, you had someone waiting in the wings and Trevor Lawrence to take over. Chris Vezina is going to be the quarterback this season, 3 years as a backup. I don't know if that's a good thing, because if he was worth anything, wouldn't have someone come for him in the portal and tried to steal him away from Clemson? The fact that he was sitting there waiting in the wings to take over for this season, that actually has me concerned. But he's a four-star recruit out of Alabama. He has 105 career pass attempts. We will see what it looks like. He actually has good weapons to throw to. T.J. Moore is back, 6'3", 200 pounds, 837 yards a year ago. And then Bryant Wesco, the junior, 537 yards in only six games last year. He averaged 89.5 yards per game. He's 6'2", 185. And then Gideon Davidson, they got to get the ground game going this year. That was a failure last year. And one of the big reasons why they struggled, but also the defense didn't get to the quarterback a season ago. From 2014 to 2022, Clemson had at least 40 sacks every year. The last three seasons have been bad, but just 35 sacks last season. And that was with Parker and Woods, who could get after the quarterback. Sammy Brown's back, 13.5 tackles for loss, 106 tackles, 5 sacks at linebacker. And then DN Will Held could have went to the NFL, 7.5 sacks last year. If the defense can be really aggressive, they have a shot here to go over the 7.5 wins. But I just think that the outcomes are so wide swinging on either end of this one. I can't do anything with Dabo and Clemson until I see what it looks like week one. And week one, by the way, taking on LSU, that number's down. I want to say it was 10.5 about 5-6 days ago. Last I looked, it was 9.5, which I'm not going to touch. But I did consider taking the points with Dabo in that spot just because at least he has guys coming back. LSU's got 59 new pieces to work in this year. Now, over in the SEC, an update on one of the best, if not the best, running back in the country, Missouri running back Ahmad Hardy. He was shot a few weeks ago. He is not yet participating in drills during practice, but he was spotted watching practice and jogging around earlier today. That's via SI.com's Killian Wright. He's a junior. He's trying to get back into shape. Looks like he's fully cleared from the gunshot wound. They don't really need him week one, Missouri. They've got Arkansas Pine Bluff. He ran for 1,649 yards last season, 16 touchdowns. He's had over 3,000 rushing yards through 25 games in college. That's at Missouri and Louisiana Monroe combined. Missouri went 8-5 last year, but they were 0-5 against winning teams. They were 8-0 against unranked squads. Drinkwitz, by the way, 0-16 versus SEC teams with a winning record so far with the Tigers. They brought in Chip Lindsey to be the OC. I don't know if that's a good thing based on his track record. I do like Austin Simmons, the lefty transfer who went up a class a year ago to try and start at Ole Miss. And I think he can be good if they scheme it up right. And if he has a run game with Hardy and Jamal Roberts, who ran for 750 yards a year ago, they have to replace a lot of weapons on offense. And they also lost Damon Wilson, their top edge, to Miami in the portal. I'm a little bit lower on Missouri, even though I do like the pieces and I do like Ahmad Hardy a lot. I'm just not willing to get there with them from a future perspective. 8 wins a year ago. I don't know if they get back to 8 this season. Do the Missouri Tigers, despite some of the positive things I just said about that team. We'll do more with college football throughout the week. Also next week, just confirmed, our buddy Brett Ciancia. Pick 6 previews will be on the show on Monday night looking at the season. I know he's high on a few teams, including Oklahoma. I'll also unveil my top 10. I'll just tell you this right now. Texas Tech, not a top 10 team to me. I'm on an island. Everyone loves the Red Raiders. I'm not buying it, man. You lost Jacob Rodriguez and David Bailey to the NFL. The heartbeat and two dominant studs on what was one of the best defenses in the country. Also, they didn't score against Oregon in the playoff, and they've got a good run game. And they lost Brendan Sorsby. I like Will Hammond, But we don't know what it looks like in a larger sample size where teams are scouting him, trying to pick apart what he does best. I don't like Texas Tech like everybody else. This is one of those groupthink spots where I'm willing to go against the groupthink and I'm fine being wrong because I think the Big 12 is wide open. How about the golf this week? The playoffs are here. The FedEx St. Jude Championship. Is it wide open? Who can we look at? We'll break it down on the other side of Cashing Out.